Into the Blender, episode 55.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to media reviews.
Or whatever shiny object catches our eye that day. Your heart's beating for me. I'm just waiting to see. Where's the line that you would draw beyond me and never let me be? But it really doesn't matter at all. Hey, everybody. This is Viv.
And this is Chooch.
And welcome back to the Burrow. It's mid-January.
It's cold.
It's real. I'm wrapped up in a blanket. I'm in my flannel jammies and I'm wrapped up in a blanket. It's ridiculous.
I have contemplated putting on pajama bottom things with, you know, like that cover your legs.
Yeah, it's instead of shorts.
I don't like covering my legs in general.
It's because you got such sexy knees.
Oh,
if
yeah, that's it.
If I had knees like that, I wouldn't cover them either.
But it's cold.
It's real. I'm not surprised that in mid-January you're contemplating switching from shorts. But, you know.
Kaylee, sit on my feet.
Kaylee, sit on his legs.
She's back to shadow hunting.
Yep.
Count them, Kaylee. Count the shadows.
We Doctor Who reference. We had a really fun Christmas, very hectic December, extremely fantastic and hectic December.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as I think we might have mentioned last time, my sons from my previous marriage visited us, and we hadn't seen them since the end of summer, and LT grew even taller, as if that were possible. I mean, it's possible, but it just seems insane how much he grew in 4 months.
Yeah.
And he's on par with your height now.
He's just about there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We had a great time. I was stressing, of course, because is it going to snow and wreck our visit? But that all went fine. We got up and we decorated the tree and we did all that stuff that we like to do. And then they went to visit their dad's parents and then came back and we had my brother's sons, who you've heard us talk about them before. Mm-hmm. And they stayed for several days, and we just did the Krusty Gamers thing, you know.
Like old times.
Just like old times, with music blasting and game sounds and the now man-voiced evil laughter and joking. And two things surprised me in that, you know, in the almost 6 years that we've been in this house, how little has changed as they went from, you know, Naughty Bear was 13 and LT was 8 when we moved into this house.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now 14 and 19 and, you know, the same age gap for the nephews. And it's still the same.
Yeah.
They giggle. They have fun. They play well with each other. They fight with each other. It's just wonderful. So that was a surprise how much they still enjoy that. And the other surprise was just how much in love all four of the boys are with Kaylee. She got so spoiled that whole week.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were just playing. She didn't go two steps without a hand on her, somebody petting her or playing with her. She was just rotten. It got to the point by the end of the week that if she was in a room with one of the boys or all of the boys, any breakdown of the four boys, and they went on the other side of a door, like they went into a bathroom or they went downstairs and close the door or whatever, she would sit at the door and whimper. She couldn't stand to be separated from her boys.
Yeah.
So that was, I just loved, they just couldn't get enough with her. And Naughty Bear and the oldest nephew, GK, kept going outside and playing basketball with her, which is more like a formal game of keep away.
Right.
She gets the ball and won't give it back. And
no.
It's just hilarious to watch. And she just, she was so spoiled. It was like baby's first Christmas. She was just spoiled rotten. It was so funny. We had a great time, though. You took them to see Tron.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did you think of Tron?
I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. The new Tron movie, of course.
Yeah.
We had your copy of the original first Tron movie.
Which is like the 20th anniversary edition or whatever that Disney chose not to release before the movie, up to the chagrin of so many people.
Which I didn't realize they were going to do, because we had your copy. We could have done some viewings for people to see it again. But we did loan it to Thomas so that his sons could watch it. But yeah, if I'd known that, we could have, you know, taken it places and shown it to people. But
yeah, I was surprised on Twitter and, you know, seeing everybody complain, I can't find it. Where is it?
Yeah, and it was like, going for a lot on eBay.
Yeah, too. Yeah, that's right. People finding it for ridiculous amounts of money. And I was like, really? It was like $13 when we bought it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but we had the boys, all four boys watch it. And I didn't watch it. I saw all or part or something like that when it came out in the theater. And I didn't like it. You know, it was like, oh, it's really pretty. Yawn.
Yeah.
And so I didn't watch it. I was doing other stuff. But I could hear the boys. They were laughing. They were just doing the MST 3000 thing.
Yeah.
and GK, my 18-year-old nephew, almost 18-year-old nephew, kept saying, end of line. Every time the voice on the movie would say it, it was because it was like that, because it was like a computer program talking.
Right.
So it would be end of line when it was done saying whatever. And so he started saying that week. And when he was done talking, he'd say, oh, yeah, let's go do this raid. End of line. So funny.
End of line. Yeah. Then after we watched the movie, they, you know, had a lot of fun and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And it's not the best movie ever. The original wasn't the best movie ever. It has a lot of nostalgia value for me. I loved it back then because it was the first computer-generated graphics and all that. And, you know, they're in the computer, man. Imagine that.
One of these days, we'll be there too.
The only thing that kind of bugged me about it is I remember the first one being funnier. And in this one, they tried to have a couple jokes or a couple minor punchlines or something, and nothing about the movie was funny.
Okay.
It was fun. It was an adventure, but it, you know, it wasn't really funny. And I remember in the original, Jeff Daniels would have a couple quips and things like that. And when he would say things in this one, all I got was the dude from The Big Lebowski. Because he'd be going, come on, man. And it didn't work for me at all. Billy Flynn was saying, oh, no, it was like the original one. It was on par. You know, and you think he's like been, you know, stuck in there from away from the rest of the world in this sequel. And so he'd have the same. I don't know. It didn't work for me. That part didn't work for me. It just took me right out of the movie every time he did it because he's this old guy and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
But so after the movie, Ed and I asked the boys, you know, so which did you like better? And they're like, the new one.
Right.
Just, you know, no hesitation.
Yeah.
Which you know, the eye candy didn't hurt, and the special effects were pretty good too.
Yeah. And compared to, I mean,
the 20-year-old one. You didn't see it.
No, I didn't see what you did there.
The woman in the movie, the eye candy.
Oh,
the female lead.
Gotcha. I didn't get that.
She was hot.
I can't believe they put a hot chick in a geek movie, in a big budget, you know, Hollywood movie.
It's crazy.
Right on. So they had fun with that.
Yeah.
They got a lot of enjoyment out of the first one, but it was mainly mocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which we're used to. I'm used to. My generation.
Yeah.
Children mocking it. It's the way of the world.
Oh, yeah. We mocked our parents' stuff.
Yep.
And while they were here, we had a family party the day before they flew out. They were flying out on Christmas Eve. And so the day before we did our Christmas party, we had my family over and we opened presents and we made the bacon cheeseburgers and we had the cheesecake and all of that stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fun. You know, it was one of those crazy family times and we all laughed and goofed. And I think maybe my first thought of my favorite memory from the family party this year was we had the TV on some stupid thing, and it was football or something. I don't know. It was something that we, you know, wouldn't watch.
Just on.
So I was like, oh, and hey guys, I pulled out the old videotapes from when you were kids, the Christmas shows. So do you want to watch, you know, Rugrats Christmas or VeggieTales Christmas? And Naughty Bear spoke up and said, Rugrats Christmas, you know, the 19-year-old. And I was just joking. And I was like, done. And I put the Rugrats Christmas special in, and they actually sat there and watched it because all four
twiddled with the buttons and remembered how to make the VCR show up on the TV.
Yeah, because
it's been a while.
It's still there, but we just haven't used it in forever. But it was so funny because at first the other boys were kind of teasing him, but when I turned it on, all four of the boys came up with Rugrats. They all watched Rugrats. We took them to see the Rugrats movie when it came out. They were all in that age range. They all remembered the show and they all actually enjoyed it. So I was just like sitting there trying not to be a big, you know, mush going, oh, you're still little kids. You're so cute. You know, it was just really cool. That was fun. What about you for the family party? Did you have a favorite moment?
I don't think so.
It sucked. You hated every minute of it.
No, I had a lot of fun, but.
Got to try out the new grill.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, the new to us grill, which we'd bought from a friend. They were getting something else. And it's nice. It's been a long time. We've been doing the propane forever.
Yeah.
And this is like a traditional Weber big, you know, Death Star grill.
Charcoal.
But, right, with charcoal. But the difference is it's kind of a hybrid. So it actually has this mini propane tank that you use to light the charcoal to get it going. So you put, and it has these little loader things to load, stack the charcoal up, these little cages, and you load that up, you launch the propane, you leave that on for like 5 minutes or so, and that gets the charcoal going really good. And then from then on, it's like a traditional charcoal grill.
Yeah.
So you get that great taste, but it's still very convenient. And it has this aluminum catcher at the bottom. So when all the ashes are done, it has this lever, you shake it back and forth, everything falls down into this little catcher. And you just dump that straight in the trash can. So the cleanup's really easy.
Yeah, it's been so long since I had anything on a charcoal grill that I forgot how big of a difference the flavor is.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, they're just like, because you make fantastic food on the grill anyways. But the depth of flavor is just amazing. Yeah. I had totally forgotten because I've had nothing but propane for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And it was actually the last we had at a birthday party for Grail Pup last year, the brother-in-law was using charcoal and it was like, oh, I forgot how good charcoal is. So when we got we found out about that grill, it was like, oh yeah, we want it. Bring me that charcoal. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
Tasty, very tasty.
Oh, and we got to meet your father's girlfriend's
Beyonce's
son.
Son. Yeah. For the first time. He's really nice. Yeah, I love my dad's fiance. She's really fantastic. And her son, other family members had met before. We were gone when he came to visit last time. And so we got to meet him and we had a really great time just talking. We've got a lot of similar interests. And so it was really cool to meet him finally. Yeah. Really, really nice people. And then the next day was the day from hell. We took our time. We were going to try and do lunch with friends, but we were just all exhausted. So the boys wanted to sleep in. So we got a late start out. They had like a late afternoon flight back to their dad's place. And we stopped for lunch, had a great time, got to the airport with plenty of time because I'm paranoid. We've missed a flight before because of new security stuff. So we get there even earlier than before now. We got there in plenty of time. Went to the kiosk to check them in. Their flight was 2 hours delayed, which was putting them in to their connecting flight with like 5 minutes to get on the plane, which I was not happy with. So we went to the ticket counter. By the time we got through the line, it was a 4-hour delay for mechanical problems. And so we were scrambling, trying to figure out how to get them back. You know, here it is Christmas Eve, the afternoon.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a custody arrangement. They're supposed to be with their dad for Christmas this year. So I got their dad on the phone. We went back and forth, found a different airport. The ticket agent ticketed them through it. And we had to wait an extra hour to get them out. They were transferring through a different city or connecting through a different city. And we had just gotten home from, you know, getting them on the plane when I got a text from Naughty Bear. They had landed at their connecting airport.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the ticket agent had them going to the wrong state.
Yeah. Same city name, different state.
Different state, which I didn't even know there were any other cities named this.
Never.
Yeah.
Had that happen with an airline before.
No. And because we had the whole discussion of what state they were going to. And,
yeah.
You know, it's only an hour away from the other airport. Yeah. And so she just flaked. So there was a lot of panic because they were going to be at the wrong place. And it's now 8 o'clock Christmas Eve. And it's a small town where their dad's at. And there's no big, you know, it's not like he's near New York City or anything where there's a bunch of international airports with a lot of flights.
New York City.
So they ended up stuck in this city overnight in a crappy hotel in a crappy part of town.
Yeah.
And they woke up Christmas morning in a hotel, just the two of them, you know, and they didn't even get back to their dad's place until like 3 o'clock Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So it was just infuriating. I was a total wreck from then on. I was totally freaking. Got up MapQuest, pulled that up, did the mile tracking to figure out, okay, how long is it going to take us to get there? Because my babies are not waking up alone on Christmas morning. But by the time we would have gotten there 12 hours away, they would have already been on the way back to the airport.
Yeah.
So.
And it had changed the connecting airport.
Right.
The previous connecting airport.
We could have gotten to.
Wouldn't. Yeah. It was like, what, 5 hour drive?
Yeah. It was like 5 hours. Drive? If it had been the original one, we could have gotten there in no time. Well, not no time, but we would have jumped in the car and driven to them and just been with them Christmas morning and then gotten them on the flight and turned around and come back.
Since the change of the connecting airport, it was like 14, 16 hours away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was. It was more than 12. And it was about the same distance for their dad, too, so that he couldn't even go get them before they were supposed to be on the plane and then have missed Christmas morning with his other kids and the whole thing. So it was just a disaster. And, you know, I expected my ex to be really, really pissed at me, even though it was totally out of my hands. You know, I looked at the, when I was handed the boarding passes, I looked at them and it had the right location on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, cool. I didn't realize there was another.
Yeah.
City with that name, let alone other airports with that same city, you know, in that same city name. So anyways, it was a big mess. It was a big learning experience for me at a high cost for my kids. My ex was not pissed. He actually said, you know, he told the boys to treat it as an adventure and, you know, to, you know, write a screenplay someday and make $1 million, which I thought was brilliant, you know. But they were still really miserable. And I'm really glad I got them books for Christmas because they both tore through them.
Yeah.
And so they had a rough time. And the lesson is don't ever schedule them to fly on Christmas Eve ever, ever, ever again.
Well, and yeah, don't assume that airlines are sending you to where you think they're sending you to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never double checked a ticket before.
Yeah. I mean, I look at the city and that's really all you see. I feel terrible for not catching it, you know, because that was literally the only option that we had to get them there. Well, okay. To get them to that one, that was the only option. To get them to theirs, maybe there were other. But, you know, again, it's a very, very small town. Yeah. Probably only a couple of flights out there a day anyways. But, I mean, it would have been bad because they would have not been able to get to their dad's. They would have had Christmas morning here, but they wouldn't have been in a crappy hotel in a crappy part of town.
Yeah.
So that was their Christmas morning. They're over it. They're fine. You know, no, well, they're still not thrilled about it, but they survived it just fine. Yeah. And then the night of Christmas Day, our beloved friend P.G. Holyfield came to visit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of a commiserating, we ain't got our kids, you know, although he spent time with them Christmas Eve and Christmas morning and Christmas Day and all that stuff. It was still like a, you know, let's get together and make Christmas awesome. So he got in late Christmas Day night. And the hijinks ensued. Our usual crazy fun.
Yeah.
Just can't express enough how much we just love that guy. He is a fantastic friend and so much fun to be around. And just love every
time. Just to hang out and
talk
and watch stuff. And
chill out and play games and just be, you know. So we watched a lot of movies this time. I don't know that we actually... Did we play any board games this time?
No, we never got around to it.
No.
No.
Played some video. You guys played the zombie game of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. He had bought me Dead Nation, which is an online PS3 game.
Uh-huh.
And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's this kind of like top-down shoot 'em up.
Yeah.
Dual stick controls, lots of crazy weapons, and just chaos.
Yeah. Which, it's zombies, so you're going to have to expect chaos.
Bloody, bloody chaos.
So basically, PG's welcome anytime he wants to come, because it's just one of those relaxing, chill times, and it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then later that week, our friend Paulette Jackson came out to visit. She is between jobs right now. And of course, I'm not working. So she came out one day and we just hung out and we knitted and we talked and we laughed and we went out to dinner and came back to the house and did some more knitting. And she had had a high alcohol content, whatever it's called, beer when we were out at our favorite ale house.
High gravity.
Yeah. And then when we got back, I opened up a bottle of wine because I hadn't had anything to drink and I just wanted to have a glass of wine. And so she commented on how the difficulty of knitting when you're tipsy. Mm-hmm. So her nickname now is the tipsy knitter. We had a great time though. She stayed until the next day and I made a new tasty vegetarian dish that was really good for her. And not good for her, but it was good. I made it because of her because she's vegetarian. And it was just, I just love hanging out with her, and we're planning another weekday hangout soon. We had New Year's Eve. We stayed in. We kept it very simple, very low-key.
Yeah.
We had Thomas Gideon and his wife Andrea and their kids and their dogs come and stay. Yes. We did a New Year's Eve sleepover.
Kaylee had her friends over for New Year's.
Her boyfriend and her BFF. Yeah, Fergus and Fiona. They came with the dogs and the kids. That way they wouldn't have to do a kennel fee. And we always take Kaylee out when we go visit them. And they just all play together like crazy children. And their sons, Monkey 1 and Monkey 2, were here. And it was just a lot of fun. It was cool having little guys in the house again, you know, on New Year's Eve. And I got the sparkling apple cider. And I got the confetti rolls and the noisemakers and the hats. Because, you know, it's like what we used to do with our guys on New Year's Eve. And the champagne toast at midnight. And they played downstairs with the game systems. And we had burgers for dinner. We had burgers for dinner because that ended up being the simplest thing. But I still wanted to do it kind of fancy. So we served it on china and crystal. And, you know, I brought out the fancy tablecloth. And, we had burgers and chips on on fancy, fancy stuff. It was a great time. We played Seen It. We played the DVD.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The DVD game, trivia game, Seen It. And we had a blast. It was the most fun I've ever had playing that game. It was absolutely hilarious. And what's the winning answer for everything? Clint Howard.
Clint Howard, yeah.
It was so fun. Oh, my gosh. I really want to have him over for another sleepover because having the dogs and the boys, it was just so chaotic and awesome.
Yeah. Midnight. That's so much fun not to have to worry about anything, driving anywhere. And just,
you can just, you know, drink or not drink. And you don't have to worry about that 2-hour drive home at midnight, which is so long and so cold this time of year. And it was so fun. And Thomas's birthday. So New Year's Eve was Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas's birthday was actually Monday, 2 days later. Yeah. So Andrea and I got together and we were trying to surprise him with a little birthday party and birthday ambush. And I think we did a pretty good job. I got Star Wars decorations and their boys just loved it. They were like, oh, this is so cool. But we surprised him and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, and
and I really reined it in because you know me, I go crazy for birthdays. I was going to do like crazy streamers and all kinds of stuff. And it was like, no.
Well, the funny thing, we were talking about it afterwards. Mm-hmm. So after a couple weeks had passed.
Yeah.
And talking about his Star Wars birthday, he mentioned that at work, two of the managers were, so one of them said something, you know, oh, how was the birthday this weekend? Oh, it was okay. You know, we'd had a, you know, I don't remember what it was, like whatever Batman thing. Something or other dishes and da 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 da. And, you know, and it was a good time. And Thomas said, and he almost said, oh, I just had Star Wars, but he held back, which ended up being a good instinct because they were talking about their kids' party.
Yeah, and it was Thomas's birthday party that had the Star Wars theme. I even got him one of those little badges that said birthday Jedi. It was so good. He wore it all day. Thomas is so awesome. I just love him. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I had my first key lime pie because that's what Andrea always makes for Thomas for his birthday. And
his favorite pie.
Yeah, and I got to say, her key lime pie is really good. I still would choose cheesecake over it. No offense to Andrea. I just, citrusy stuff just isn't my favorite. But that was really good. So that was a lot of fun. Midnight was hilarious because we had the kids with the noisemakers. We had the dogs went crazy. As soon as the noisemakers started going off, all three dogs started barking and running around. Yep. And so there's streamers flying and the dogs barking. It was so funny. It was hilarious. We were all just laughing and grinning at them at all the chaos. It was really fun. So that was our New Year's. It was a great way to start the 2011, and I just, bringing it in with friends. And it was really, for all the craziness at midnight, just having it be a calm night. You know, the kids were old enough that they could just hang out in the basement and they had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to sit upstairs and just, do adult stuff. Not adult stuff. That sounds different. That sounds way different. We weren't doing like that kind of scene and game. We just, the guys were drinking beers. Andrea and I were drinking cocktails and just chilling without having to keep our eyes on the kids all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Adults. So, do you have like a formal announcement to make? Are you able to talk about?
Yeah.
It's not a secret, right?
It's not a secret anymore.
No. Okay. Not anymore.
With the band, with Phil Rossi and The Awakening, we were having some discussion in December about possibly changing the name of the band.
Right.
Which came about because some people may be aware there are these awakening festivals that happen around the nation that are basically these giant Christian gatherings. And apparently somebody asked Phil, "Oh, are you guys in a Christian band?" He's like, "No." We need to change the name.
Well, and the reason that it was Phil Rossi and The Awakening was, do you want to give the backstory on why it was called The Awakening?
I'm not 100% sure. I mean,
well, the way it was expressed to me was it was everybody was sitting around and everybody just felt like reinvigorated with the music creation and playing together. And it was like an awakening.
That's true. Yeah. So, yeah, he was with a few friends and they were going to start, playing together again. I don't know if it was again, because I don't know if he had played with them. Anyways, it's a mix. And that was like this kind of crisp, fresh, more acoustic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined the band and we've kind of evolved. Now, we've got a bigger, deeper sound.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since Scott Pilgrim, now we've got a much dirtier sound. I've started doing more distorted bass on songs and stuff. And it just has a different feel.
Yeah.
Different vibe. Not anti-Christian or anything,
not at all.
Yeah, we don't want to be
Satan music.
No, we don't want to be misleading.
Right.
So we started talking about doing, a new name and started a Google document shared with the band. So we had our fake name section, because whenever you start talking about new names,
right,
new titles, pretty much anything, people start joking a lot.
Yeah, I mean, free it's just beer, kind tonight of, at the bar, free
yeah,
beer,
It's just kind of part of the creative process. And with having their previous names, naturally it went to, Phil Rossi and the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah.
Phil Rossi Temple and the of Ring Doom. Of Doom. Or,
Ring of Doom, Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
You're thinking of the Xbox. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we had the jokey section and then the real section. And so and it actually took quite a while. So we went through lots of different iterations and nobody, had a kind of unanimous between any one name.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at practice and said, all right, tonight's the night. We're going to finish it out. And
pick the name.
There were some friends over and everybody started, we kind of brought up the document and went through the top names and we chose Ditched by Kate is officially our name.
Yes.
So we went through and started grabbing, you know, the social media sites and Bill grabbed .com and all that. So the website isn't ready to launch right now. It's got a coming soon page up.
And you can register with your email for when it is up, which I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're going to be ditched by Kate, and we have a...
No, you are.
We are.
Ditched by Kate.
And we have our premiere show, mm-hmm. February 6th, yep. which is a Sunday,
yep.
at the Velvet Lounge in D.C. And that will be our launch.
Inaugural
Ditched by Kate show.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. And yeah. it will be the first time we've played live since Halloween.
Since Halloween, that's right.
And so we've got, gosh, we've got
a dozen.
10 new yeah. songs, 10 new original songs, then a half a dozen covers. And
yeah.
We've just, you know, been having such a blast practicing yeah. and writing and really looking forward to bring this new stuff to people.
It's fantastic. Of course, I'm completely objective.
Yes.
I'm not biased in any way. And it's fantastic. No, I'm totally biased. Yeah. It's really, really, really great music yeah. though. So I hope local peeps can show up. There's a Facebook event that's been started for that and get the details, or you can send us a message, send us a DM, send us an email, whatever, and we'll send out the info.
Sunday evening's a little tough if you're not close by, especially.
Oh, it's a hall and a half for us, but we'll be there.
And I have a feeling, and I haven't confirmed, but judging from some various internet's talkings, there might be some kind of sports event that day.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said something about maybe the Super Bowl. Did you ever look and see?
No. Yeah, I mean, somebody mentioned something about, you know, something like the, you know, the some mightiest reference. Gladiator football challenge of the year or something. So I assumed that meant Super Bowl, but I don't follow sports. So
I always thought that was the last weekend in January. I don't know that. Well, we don't follow
February sports. February 6th would be kind of like the first weekend in February. I don't know. Who knows? So for some people, that may be a deal breaker too. Although we don't play, I think like doors open like 8, we don't play till 9. So it'll be over by then, right?
No.
How long does it take to play a football game?
Usually,
what, an hour?
When we would have Super Bowl parties with my ex's family, it'd be like midnight.
Yeah, I know.
It was crazy.
I know. I've been to a few Super Bowl parties. I've watched a few games. Yeah. I just don't follow the teams or don't really care about the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't care less. I don't think they know who's going to be in it yet, but yeah. Let's see. February 6th. Tickets are available from $300 to $6,000. But hey, you can always set your DVR and watch the Super Bowl later. You can't set your DVR and watch Ditched by Kate.
And
later.
I guarantee it's much less than $300.
Or $6,000. Unless you really have a drinking problem, in which case you're on your own.
Yeah. So we have some feedback.
Yes, we did. We got an email from our good friend, longtime friend, Zach Ricks.
Mad Poet.
On Twitter, yeah. Geek Survival Guide, which we've been listening to for years. And he says, hey, Viv and Chooch, really enjoyed the last ITB. I think it's the most recent one. I'm really far behind on my podcasts.
As are we all.
Yeah, I can relate to that, Zach. No worries. Christmas with family is always so much fun. We drove to Idaho and got to meet some nieces I've never seen before. Wow. Indian leg wrestling may have occurred at some point. My record is 1-1. 1-1? How do you say that?
1-1.
1-1. So he won one and he lost one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's respectable. Anyway, I've got a suggestion for the chocolate cherry chirpumple layer, which I perked up.
Yeah.
Initially, I thought it should be the chin chocolate, like the Chinook, a warm wind, but this one is for your insides. But then I remembered. Heck, everyone knows what you call something that's chocolate on the outside and cherry on the inside. It's a cordial.
Oh, yeah.
And he's right, which is what I've been calling it since I saw this. That is the official name for it now.
Okay.
The cordial pancake.
Gotcha.
Because I will be making it again. By the way, at the end of the last episode, I couldn't help but wonder what that sound was. At first, I thought someone had let a Wookiee into the studio.
Oh!
Happy New Year to all of you. Chooch, Viv, Kaylee, and Chooch's rumbly tummy.
That was a fierce tummy growl.
That was so funny. And it's cool to know that there are people that actually listen to the very end. Because yeah. You never know if anybody listens for the Easter egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yay. I do have to say that we sadly say goodbye to Zach's Geek Survival Guide.
Yeah.
He has been doing it for literally years, and they're still all there. You can still go listen to them. We've played the promo before. It's like a how-to guide.
Right.
On how to survive.
Things that will probably never happen.
Right. Vampires, alien invasions, all kinds of really hilarious things. Our son LT just was seriously into that for a really long time. But Zach is moving on. He's posted the last ever episode of Geek Survival Guide. We wish him all the best of all the luck on his future projects. And in case you haven't heard of it elsewhere, he's one of the founding members, but also the managing editor for the Flying Island Press.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend you heading over there to check out their fantastic fiction or to submit your own short story fiction for publication. They do a text and an audio version of their publication, the Flying Island Press.
It's a complete multimedia market. And it is a paying market.
Yeah.
They're paying for stories.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the ebook format is a PDF, podcast audio, text.
Yeah.
They're doing it all.
And I was very honored to be asked to do a voice for the audio version of their first episode. One of our listeners from COH Podcast wrote a story and it was accepted. And he asked me to do the reading of it for it. And I was very flattered and embarrassed at how terrible that my accents are. But it was a fantastic story. And I've read some of the others and heard some of the others. And they're just really, really good. So I highly recommend you go over there and you grab yourself a subscription. They also have started, which I haven't listened to any of because I'm not a big horror fan, but they've also started a new horror publication called The Abattoir, I think is how you pronounce it.
I haven't seen
so
that.
If you're more into horror than fantasy, then check that out. But either way, we're going to put links in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we'll play the promo so you can get a taste for what they're doing over there.
Cool.
Hello, ladies and gents. Look at your fiction. Now back to me. Now back at your fiction. Now back to me. Sadly, your fiction is not Flagship Magazine, but you can still listen or read it in the format of your choice. Look down. Back up. Where are we? We are on a ship, sailing to the infinite destinations that Pirate's Cove magazine can bring you. What's in your hand? Back to me. I have it. It's a needle, meant to subdue a victim, to torture them both physically and mentally, for the enjoyment of Abattoir magazine readers. So pick up the Flying Island Press magazine of your choice, and let fiction take you where you want to go. I've been abducted.
So head on over to Flying Island Press and check out their stuff.
That's it for us this time.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to intotheblender@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 657-464-4820.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 license.
You're free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content, just not modify or make money from it.
Theme music is provided by Sharif, found on podsafeaudio.com.
For more information about the artist, head to sharifmusic.com.
That's sharifmusic.com. I couldn't eat an apple part, I thought the tortilla chips would clean me out. My mouth, my throat. No, the black beans will clean me out, don't you?